Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello, all.
Yo.
You know what I saw today?
You seesaw.
I saw a string of palapanies.
What?
It's from the Honeymooners.
Hello, Bo.
Yeah. He was reading a manuscript or a play, and it was a polo ponies, a string of polo ponies. And he said, Ralphie, baby, I saw a string of palapanies. That's one of the classic Honeymooners lines, dude.
He's out of his mind. Well, he's dead.
He also played the archer on Batman.
He did.
And he had arrows that could go around corners. There's nothing cooler than that.
And he probably felt that his career was completely down the tubes when he had to put on that green spandex.
Well, you know, it didn't kill Costner, so.
Eesh. You know, when we were opening, I was going to say, hello, dog. And then I remembered Dog the Bounty Hunter. You heard of him?
Yeah, they watch him sometimes in the break room at work.
He's in trouble. He got in trouble recently.
Really? Yeah. What happened? What happened?
Well, he was made famous because he went down to Mexico and picked up some guy who was raping people, and he was a rich guy. I think he was the heir to the Revlon or Estee Lauder, one of those cosmetics
empires.
Yeah, but now I'm really stuck on what this guy's name was. I'll think of it later. But anyways, he went down to get this guy down in Mexico and brought him back to justice. You know, so that's how he got famous. But apparently now he's catching heat over this because in Mexico, bounty hunting is illegal, or bounty hunters are illegal.
Here, of course, they're not.
Right. So he, bail bondsman. So he went down there and he was put in jail and they're looking at putting him away in a Mexican prison for a while.
Well, that's an interesting twist on the dog story.
Yeah. Poor dog.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not either.
It's like, I watch these shows, and it's more of this cop's crap, you know, putting your neck, your knee behind somebody's neck, and, you know, all this militaristic sort of culture we've developed, you know, and just take justice in your own hands kind of thing. I recognize that bounty hunting is legal in our system, but still, it's a little over the top for me.
Yeah, I guess the only twist that he has on the whole bounty hunter type profession is that, at least on the show, as he tries to, you know, talk to these guys that he catches and tells them, you know, what they're doing wrong and you know, give them a little bit of advice.
Yeah, but he says a prayer with them, and it gets a little too crazy religious for me. So have you seen that part?
I've seen him say the prayer before he goes out and captures people, but I don't think I've seen him praying with the perps.
Yeah, I've seen him praying with the perps, you know?
Praying with the Perps. It's going to be his new solo album.
That could be a new hit single here on Ronco.
What else is going on?
Well, you know, there's more Floyd Landis news.
Oh, please. God,
he
no.
finally had his hip replacement surgery.
Lord help me. Okay. Did he take any testosterone before the surgery?
Oh, enough with that. Come on. Let's give the guy a little respect. You know, nothing.
I give him all the respect in the world. I mean, any guy with three testicles gets my respect.
Well, anyway, he had his hip replacement, and the surgeon said that the damage was actually far worse than the MRI showed. So the amount of pain and stuff that he was able to endure when he was riding was just pretty remarkable, actually.
Well, I hear the testosterone helps then. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're a funny guy. So, you know, I went to the mall today, dun, 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 because I need a new battery for my watch. My watch died like at precisely noon yesterday.
What time did it show on the watch?
Noon.
Wow, that's a coincidence.
Yep, it is. And, you know, there's this issue with getting watch batteries changed now. Apparently, in our litigious society, people are you know, suing and or whatever, seeking legal remedies against jewelers that put batteries in and like scratch the back plate or whatever when they're putting it in. So now a lot of jewelry stores won't change the watch in your battery unless you bought it from there and all that.
Battery in the watch.
Yeah. You buy what?
You said they won't change the watch in your battery.
Yeah, that too. He said he wouldn't do that either. And so I went to this little kiosk because they've done it in the past. I went to the little kiosk in the mall, Dakota Watch Company, I think it's called. And while I was there, I kid you not, a person walked up to the guy and said, "Do you have the time?"
Oh, man.
And I looked at him. I said, "That's funny. That was a joke, right?" And he said, "No, I actually need the time."
Just look down at the 40,000 watches that are
right,
in the case.
You know, I don't know if any of them are actually correct, but...
One of them's right.
So anyway, I'm there to get a watch put in my battery, and I showed him the watch, and I said, "What's wrong with this picture?" Yeah, I said, "What's wrong with this picture?" And at the time, the second hand wasn't moving. He said, "Your watch isn't working," and that is why he works at the Dakota Watch Company. That is why he is
licensed
who he is,
chronologist,
and I am who I am. And I said, "So can you put a battery in this watch? Or can you watch my battery?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's a Swiss Army watch. It's a Victorinox. I can't." And I said, "Why? Is it that dumb? You know, you
don't have the tool.
You don't have the special nuclear tool to open up my bat watch." And he said, "Yeah, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "Yeah, but I'll do it." And I said, "Oh, cool." Because I said, "The lady did it here a few months ago, or no, years ago, probably 2-3 years ago, whatever." And I said, "How much?" And he said, $15.
Pause 3 seconds.
Yeah, $15. I don't want to buy another
labor?
Watch. I want a battery, and I want you to put it in. And so I think there were two things going on here. Either he was going to pocket the balance, you know, and ring in $7 or whatever they normally charge to replace the watch battery,
mm-hmm.
or he just didn't want to do it. So he made the price so high that, you know, I would say no. So it was one of the two. I'm not sure which.
I've gone to jewelers with my, I had a Seiko at one point. Brought the watch in to a jeweler and say, "Can you change this?" And then they'd give it back to me after they changed the battery. And I say, "How much do I owe you?" They said, "Nothing."
Well, there's a really cool shop called the Village Time Shop in New York Mills. Mm-hmm. It's kind of across from like Notre Dame, right along there. And he's like a real old school watch smith jeweler, whatever.
He wears an apron and little glasses.
And he has the little jewelry monocle and all that. No, he's great. He fixes cuckoo clocks, and he's just a real jeweler.
He builds marionettes in the back.
In the old sense of the word, absolutely. And he actually replaced the quartz movement in this for me once, and he did a great job.
People don't do that anymore. They're afraid that they're going to get sued over
that's
a battery.
Just it. And you know what? It's the watch is 10, 12, 15, I don't even know years old. It's got plenty of character marks on it. You know, I'm actually not going to care if they scratch the little back plate because you know what? You can't see it when it's on your wrist.
Well, you know, those charges rack up, especially the pain and suffering after.
Mm.
It's awful.
I know, the mental cruelty. So anyway,
I walk
down the mall, like where you're kind of making the left to go towards the Sears wing, I guess.
The store.
Yeah. And there's a little jewelry store there on the left, and there's always like a little lectern kind of thing at the front of the store where a woman just usually...
A greeter?
Yeah, a greeter kind of sits or stands there, and they try to bring you into the store. So I walk
up to
her.
How many are in your party?
Yeah. Tellerico, party of five. And I said, "Is there anyone in the mall who will change this, pointing at my watch battery?" And she said, "Probably not." And so finally, another woman... It is. And another woman walked from the back of the store and said, "I'll change it." So anyway, she had the tool, you know, and she pried the back off and she put a new battery in. And then you know what she had? She had like a little like vice kind of thing that's meant to put watch backs on,
right,
you know,
clamp thing.
Little thing that applies pressure to put the back on. And you know what happened when I got the watch back?
It worked.
It worked. And I didn't sue anybody. Nobody died. And I paid her $7 and was happy to do it.
Did you sign the waiver?
No, she didn't ask for a waiver.
Really?
No.
Wow, that's pretty cool. A pre-watch battery contract?
Exactly.
Insane.
Yeah. Well, you got any news for the intro?
Nah, nothing new. Everything's old.
It's olds. It's not news.
Yeah, it's olds. But that's it. I think we're going to play a tune. This is a tune that you brought.
I did. I brought it.
You brung it.
I bringed it. And it's we've played her before, a couple of weeks ago. Maria De Angelis. Met her at the Hotel Utica New Year's Eve gala. 2 years
Songstress.
Ago. She is. She's a siren. Diva. Whatever the words are they're using
now. I think diva
now.
Applies. I think songstress.
Songstress, yeah.
Torch
and,
song type
yeah,
of person.
Exactly. And this song is called Take a Little Time to Say Goodbye. It may be the actual first ballad, just good old-fashioned down-home ballad we've ever played on the show. Let's check it out.
We know I have to leave you, and so much has come to pass. Maybe there are words we haven't said. As long as you and I are here, let's tip the glass. Can we delay whatever lies ahead? Let's take a little time to say goodbye. Stay the same from all those years of being in the game, the final curtain. Will never be the same from all those years of being. Goodbye. So let's take a little time to say goodbye.
That was Ballad-icious.
I think when she wore, or she sang that song, she wore blue velvet.
She did. Just hope Dennis Hopper doesn't walk in the room. That would be a problem. Pretty.
Let's not go down that line. We can be saying those quotes for about a week.
We should talk about that film one of these days. Watch it again and make that homework. And we're talking about Blue Velvet, by the way, for the David Lynch film.
Yeah, Blue Velvet. That song makes me, or that movie makes me nervous.
I'd like to introduce the Blue Lady, Miss Dorothy Valens.
Yeah, why her name was Dorothy Valens, I have no idea.
Well, I don't know, but you know what? That's a human ear, all right. The driest line and the worst delivered line in the history of cinema, American cinema. Anyway.
All right, Van Gogh, enough of that movie.
Do it for Van Gogh.
We're definitely going to do that movie sometime.
All right.
Anyways, something was going on this week where it seemed like music was like this theme. You know, you ever have one of those weeks where some topic keeps popping up in different sources or from different sources? And
no, but continue.
Well, last week, I think we talked about it on the show, or someone mentioned it on the show, maybe you even, that for us, one of the reasons why we put music in our show is because for us, music is kind of like breathing. We need it to survive. It's one of those things that we always want to be surrounded by.
Well, I said food, but
like
breathing and food are required to survive.
Yeah, it's like shelter for me.
It's a first-tier hierarchy, you know, in the needs.
That's right, Maslow's area. Hierarchy, yeah. I think. And then I was listening to some talk show in the morning driving into work, and Andy Rooney was a guest. You know, you ever wonder?
Yeah, I know him.
You ever wonder why my eyebrows are so huge?
It's because he's a Russian premier.
Could be.
Yeah, but you gave another example of what made you think about this.
I don't even remember. There were so many things going on.
Well, after we taped last week's show, a friend of mine, Kirsten, who was on the show, mm-hmm. friend of ours, we taped the show with her where she kind of interviewed me and John, you know, interjected.
As I do.
Lewd comments every once in a while. And she asked me / us the question, why do you have music on the show? What's your deal with music? And you emailed me and thought that would make an interesting topic.
Well, here you go. And it's a topic. But Andy Rooney.
It's like a music week.
It is.
This Week in Music. Dun, 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 dun.
So getting back to Andy Rooney, the bushy-eyed one, someone said to him, you know, what are you looking at? It's an armrest. It's a tiki glass and armrest. So someone asked him about some musical guest he had on the show, and he said off the cuff, so what kind of music do you listen to? And his answer just blew me away. It was,
what?
I don't listen to music really. It doesn't really do much for me.
Well, that's the second time we've heard this week.
It's crazy. That's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk. And let me interject a little something. We were randomly Skyping people last week before last week's show because I had this brilliant idea that we should like randomly Skype someone. And I thought maybe we'd make 10 Skype calls and we'd find somebody interesting that we could just interview about them, you know, a European person or something. And mm-hmm. John and I randomly Skyped some guy from Ireland. I think Colin was his name.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, hey, dude, what's going on? And he's like, nothing.
So what are you into?
What are you into?
Making money.
Making money. So what kind of music? You like music? Not really. And we were like, okay, goodbye. You're not going to be on our show. And yeah. That shocked me, too. How can you not be into music?
And the host of the show was sort of shocked as well. And he asked Andy Rooney, well, how can you not like music? He's like, well, it doesn't really do anything for me. There's no music that I listen to. It never has, and I don't think it ever will. So he just doesn't have music in his life. It's just very odd.
Well, for us, it's certainly odd. But, I mean, there's certainly probably more people out there like him. I mean, I guess not everybody can like music. Not everybody can like wine. I mean,
no, I'm thinking he should be put down like the sick horse that he is.
We recommended euthanasia for nonconformists everywhere. Oh, you know, speaking of music, I want to throw this out there. I've watched two movies in the last few weeks where out of the blue, and you're going to laugh, Asia, Heat of the Moment was used as score music in the film.
I'm not laughing. I'm hitting my head against the table.
Well, hey, don't knock the Asia. I like, because that's going to be some of my questions, answers to this question. Your questions. You is the interrogator, the inquisitor.
I'm the impositor.
No, you're the suppositor.
That's right.
And so I'm watching The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which is actually a pretty funny film. And,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, and they're playing, you know, a really badly edited version of Heat of the Moment. And then I'm watching Pierce Brosnan, The Matador.
Don't tell me anything.
And Heat of the Moment, I'm going to tell you this
I'm going to avert my ears.
Heat of the Moment was used in there. And I was, and once again, badly edited. You know, if you know the song, you know where they make the cuts to try to make it fit into the film. But why suddenly is Asia appearing like in all of these 2006, 2005 films?
Because I think stuff from the 80s is making that comeback. Like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, stuff from the 70s was coming back. It's kind of a cyclical thing.
Well, it's interesting because the band is back too. Yeah, I mentioned that to you. We mentioned that like a few months ago on the show.
And, well, and I may be thinking that their publicist had something to do with it.
The original band. Well, of course, the publicist had something to do with it, but it's not like they never had a publicist, and it's not like the music's not been out there. It's been available for movies to use since 1982 when they wrote the damn thing.
Well, if you look at the target audience too, people our age, we'd really relate to that. It would make a connection, which is sort of why I wrote up some of these questions, because for me, music is a huge part of my life. I know it's for you as well. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I said, you know, this would be a great meme. I wrote up a whole bunch of questions, and these questions are geared around associating music with certain things, certain moments in your life.
Mm. Yeah.
Heated moments even.
Yeah, heated of the moments. Oh, I just got to say two words out loud. Drew Torsano. All right, cool. I've lived up to my obligation for this show. I got to go. See you later. All right.
And you owe me half of the money.
Wait a minute. Speaking of money, you owe me a buck, dude. Pay up.
You know I am paying Rich a dollar.
He's actually giving, he's because of the Yankee bet. Oh, I know. It's got dust on it. Believe me. I know. Here, listen. That, my friend, is a not so crisp series 2001 George Washington right there.
Gave him the dollar because I bet him that I think the Yankees would win on the game that I went to go see, and they lost.
They lost both. They lost the doubleheader, not just the one.
They lost the doubleheader, but unfortunately, they're still at the top of Major League Baseball in record right now.
Yeah, the Mets have been playing their Scribinis since they clinched. They've been playing their AAA guys. You know, the roster goes
right
to 40 people, so they've been giving their lowly guys a chance to play, and their record hasn't been so great, but who cares? They
Pedro
won.
Is all I've got to say.
They won home field advantage in all the series. And
the Yankees did, too. Yeah. Everyone's calling for a Subway Series this year, but I don't want to bore anyone with,
call
with
for
the Yankees.
It. I'm not going to call for it.
Back to the topic.
The meme, the music.
Let's get back on
track. We should start this meme. We should do the blog meme thing, and we'll start
We'll definitely
this.
Do that. Yeah. We'll
I nominate Kirsten. You're getting this one, Kirsten.
Yep,
and did you get the CDs yet, Kirsten? For crying out loud, email me.
She's not going to answer you on the show.
I know. She'd have to encrypt it first. She's very secretive.
Okay. Anyways, I've got 8 questions here. And people can add to this as well.
No, but they will not change the meme.
Memes can
well,
mutate.
Well, it's your meme.
They
it's
can
your,
mutate.
The mute meme.
Okay, so first question.
Teenage Mutant Ninja meme.
Is there a song that you find running through your head on more than one occasion? You know, you get those songs stuck in your head.
You want me to answer this?
Yeah, go ahead, because I've got
all right. I thought about this one, and it's not, I don't really have one song that recurs, you know? If it's something I heard, like, for example, the one song that would not go away a couple of weeks ago was when we played the first Maria De Angelis tune. I'm having a bit of difficulty remembering what it is, but that song was just running through my head for days, and I was, like,
really?
Desperately cranking, like, heavy metal as loud as I could at home.
Grindcore.
Grindcore, just to try to, you know, not that that's not a great song. I love the song. That's why we're playing her. But, you know, it can drive you a little batty after 3 or 4 days, you know? You want to hear different music. But no, there's not one particular song. It could be any song that I've heard that, you know, there's a guy at work who likes to sing a lot of like 70s classic rock, you know, or hum it, you know, or make the mouth guitar noise. He'll walk around going bow,
wow,
bow,
wow,
bow,
wow.
Bow,
yeah.
Bow, 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 bow.
Rick James kind
yeah,
of stuff.
You know, he starts doing like that kind of thing, and then that song will go through my head. But there's not one in particular.
Brick House.
Brick House. Exactly.
Yeah. For me, it's Chicago's 25 or 6 to 4. Especially
okay.
The opening riff, you know. We're gonna do a lot of that in this meme.
Yeah, I guess we will.
And I've got a couple others, but I'm not gonna extend it. Okay, next question. Have you had a particularly bad breakup? And if so, what song do you associate with it?
I actually don't have a song for a breakup, but I do have a V song. My like high school sweetheart kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, women are going to hate me and everyone's going to hate me for this.
Under the Sea ball.
Yes. And Michael J. Fox was on stage.
That's right.
And a phone call was made and he goes,
Your girlfriend was your destiny, your density.
Yeah. And then the guitar player in the band who had his hand cut, was he called his brother. It was Marvin Berry, but he called his cousin, you know, Chuck Berry, and said, "This is the sound." No, but I actually only have one song that's been associated in any way with a relationship, and that was She's Got Away by Billy Joel, which is a really sweet mm-hmm. song that he wrote, and that was like my high school.
It's a sad song, too.
It's a nice song, and that was my high school sweethearts and mine. That was our song. I don't really have a song that I necessarily associate with my current girlfriend or anything.
For me, it's the Police, Roxanne. And I'm not going to expound on why.
Well, you know, I don't think it's fair that you don't.
Because. How about that? All right, next question. I don't want this to go on for 6 hours.
Yeah, we can't go on for like that 48-question sci-fi quiz, man.
Sorry about that.
I got two comments already about how long that was. I know. Well,
all right.
This is question number 6, suddenly. Question 42.
Third question, number 3. We all have them. But what song or artist do you secretly enjoy but hate to admit?
Well, you know, you laughed at me when I said the Partridge Family as for that being one of the early records that I bought, mm-hmm. you know. But I sort of dug the Partridge Family. Come on, you know. When you were homesick from school, you got to watch the Partridge Family, either if they were first run or repeats.
H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yeah. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. But, I mean, you know, I like some...
The Monkees.
I like the Monkees. Yeah. You know what? I mean, I like some ABBA tunes. Hey, what can I say? You know, speaking of ABBA, I went to a trade show.
Speaks a lot to your character.
Yeah, definitely. I went to a trade show 2-3 years ago in L.A. with the boss, my direct boss.
I thought you were talking about Bruce Springsteen.
No. Well, he was there. It's funny you should say that. He was the next table over. He sang. No, I went with my boss and one of my coworkers, Danielle... And Danyell, Dan Yell. That's how
she's loud.
She's actually, yeah. And we're in the hotel's bar, and it seemed like the entire German contingent that was attending the trade show was at our hotel as well. So like half of the bar tables were taken by people speaking German, and then there was
they were
us.
Chanting Hasselhoff's tunes.
They were not actually. They were just speaking German, and you know the majority of the people in that room were German, and then there was us, and we were being the ugly Americans. We were getting hammered.
Wait a minute. If you're in the United States, you can't be the ugly American. I think that's a rule.
You're probably right. We just fit right in. But we were sitting at the table, and we were getting hammered. I mean, we were lining them up. Our bar tab was $300-$400. You know, of course, drinks are $89.50 each.
It's true.
But still, our bar tab was somewhere between $350 and $400. And, you know, I was just drinking a lot of wine, and we were having a roaring good time. And my boss... You know, you open his wallet, much like you, and moths come out. And
what am I, Jack Benny?
No, because you don't play violin.
Neither did he.
That's true. So he pulls out his wallet and pulls out a 20, and he's slurring. He's slurring, much like I was at the end of the Kirsten interview. And he's like, "Rich, go to the bar and get 20 singles. I want you to man the jukebox, and for every dollar, it's like a dollar for 3 songs or whatever, for every dollar you put in the jukebox, you got to play one ABBA tune."
Mamma mia.
Yeah. So the secret of my boss comes out. He loves ABBA. So I break
remember
the 20.
Any of this, I'm sure.
Well, probably not, but I tell the story in front of him, which is great. And I break the 20, get some singles, but I'm just hamming it up. I'm playing like Ricky Martin, La Vida Loca, and the Saturday Night Fever. And there was a 2-CD Best of ABBA CD set in the jukebox. So we heard.
What does that say about the bar?
Well, yeah, I don't know what it says, but we heard a lot of ABBA that night. And
wow.
We got so loud and rowdy, we scared the Germans out of the bar. They just laughed.
Germans
all of them.
Hate ABBA.
I think that's the answer.
All right. For me, it's not one particular song, but it's a whole genre.
Wait, what was the question?
It's what you're, well, ashamed to admit that you like.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Techno, dance music.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it started back when I first started writing code as a junior developer programmer. I used to listen to that stuff to keep me awake and coding. And it's really motivating. It really gets you juiced.
So you do steroids too?
No ecstasy, none of that stuff.
You know, we were out many years ago in Canada.
I think that's where it started.
At a bar called La Bop, and
roughly translates to
The Bop.
There you go.
And it's an approximate translation. It's not exact. Something gets lost.
Something gets lost.
Yeah. It really does. And I remember once again being particularly drunk, and we were kind of like grooving to all kinds of crazy music that night.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember one of the jokes I made: when you get drunk enough, you'll dance to engine noise. I remember making that joke that night.
I don't remember anything. It's all a blur. All right.
My mind is a blank.
Question number four.
Yeah, Blockles.
Name a song that you find yourself singing out loud when you're alone in the car.
Again, that's like the song that goes over and over in my head. If it's a song going around in my head that I like, I'll sing with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My mind has a brain of its own, and it just, I can't make it stop. So
you got like a vestigial brain?
It's a tumor. It's not a tumor. No, but I mean, you know what? It's the old adage. If you can't beat 'em, join 'em, right? So I get a song going through my head and I'll sing it. Or if
you
I'm
try
playing
to force
a CD,
it out of your head, it's kind of like holding your breath
to get rid of the
hiccups.
I call it Roto-Rooter. And whatever, you know. Or if it's a song that's on the CD, I'll just attempt to sing to it. Or I do what my good friend and fellow audio producer recommended once. You know, if you want to become a good singer, sing harmonies to the songs that are on the radio.
That'll do
it. Sometimes I try to sing harmonies and find interesting harmonies to the music, but there's not one particular song I sing to.
Yeah, try to keep that in the car for all of us.
Yes.
Okay. For me, it's anything by Radiohead, but in particular, one song, Paranoid Android. And they named the song after
Marvin.
Yeah, and some of the lyrics even in this song are part of the book, Hitchhiker's Guide. So it's pretty funny. That song, for some reason, whenever it comes on, I just gotta sing, and it belt it. It's almost like a Bohemian Rhapsody kind of thing.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Well, it's when I say Bohemian Rhapsody, I think it's got a lot of parts and a lot of different movements to it.
And a lot of bohemia.
And a lot of bohemia. But it's a great tune. It's one of Radiohead's most famous.
And I'm going to say something that may or may not shock you, but I'm not sure I've ever heard it.
I'll play it for you afterwards.
All right, cool.
Okay. Question number five.
Who?
Name the song. This is another radio one. If it came on the radio, you'd change the station or possibly even rip off the knob.
Well, yeah, or shoot yourself in the temple.
Or both.
Yeah, yeah.
Or all
well,
three.
And it's funny because I said out loud, it's kind of a whole genre. And you went, me too. You know, and I don't know what your genre is, but mine's kind of classic rock. You know, look, we all grew up with rock and roll. But if I hear, you know, Stairway or what, you know, what's that Aerosmith song?
Dream On.
Dream On. I used to wake up.
Walk This Way.
Yeah, I used to wake up to radio, you know, not to an alarm, but to the radio would wake me up. And like at whatever time my alarm went off, 7:17, the local radio station, WOUR, every morning was always playing Heart, Barracuda. And that's just
and
another song I never need to hear again.
In
fact,
I used to like that song too.
If all the master tapes went away and just got erased mysteriously and every CD disappeared off the face of the earth, I wouldn't miss that song. But
and
you know,
the band Heart was abducted and put out somewhere in the desert, you'd be okay.
On a desert island with the lepers. I don't know. But yeah, like stuff like Heart, Barracuda and Dream On and Walk This Way and Stairway to Heaven. And you know, I love Zeppelin, but, you know, Stairway's got to go.
I don't think the guys in Zeppelin even ever want to hear that song again.
Yeah, I'm sure they never want to play it again. Or, yeah. Hey, Hey, Mama.
I'm not even going to say it.
What's it called?
I'm not talking about it.
I can't even think of it.
I'm going to rip the knob off right now.
Yeah, but that's another one. And I also used to do lighting for a band that did an entire Zeppelin set. So they did that.
That'll do it to you.
Yeah, and they did all this. But they did a lot of cool Zeppelin tunes that to this day I still love. Like they did the Rover.
We've done
four already, and I don't even remember what they say.
Did they do the Crunge?
They did not do the Crunge. That's and they didn't do Out on the Tiles either, which is one of my favorite Zeppelin tunes. But they did some cool Zeppelin, and they did some Zeppelin I never need to hear again. But kind of classic rock. I can totally do without the classic rock thing.
Yeah, for me, I even wrote this down. I'm going to read what I wrote.
Wait a minute. Let me just say one last thing. Because I used to say on my BBS years ago, there's more to life than rock and roll, and people laughed at me. And fine, you can laugh at me. I don't care. But that's how I feel.
There's curry.
There's rock and roll and curry. I made some hummus with curry, that's actually, right. This week.
I wrote, classic rock stations lean heavily on this guy, and there's only so many times you can hear him. Bob Seger. Anything by Bob Seger.
I'm with you, man. I don't need to see Tom Cruise dance to a Bob Seger tune ever again, chanting mantra from the First Church of Appliantology. I mean, it just doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. Bob Seger. All that stuff. And it's funny you bring up Tom Cruise because The same reason that you had a problem with Zeppelin because you were exposed or overexposed to it. I worked in a theater, as you know, when I was in high school.
And that was the movie?
And Top Gun was playing at the theater, and I
don't need to hear that song either. You know, the what's his, the theme?
Berlin.
No, not the
Take My Breath Away.
Not that one, the guitar thing. The Canadian guy.
Kenny Loggins.
Yeah. And not that I don't like Kenny Loggins, but I, you know, just don't need to hear that or see that movie ever again.
Overexposure. That's what did it to me. I heard Top Gun because, you know, I didn't watch it. I heard it in the lobby probably 40, 50 times.
Yeah. And Exposure by Robert Fripp is a great record, but Overexposure to Tom Cruise and Top Gun, bad.
Although Exposure by Gabriel is also a good record.
Well there you
Same
go.
Same song, I think.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Number six. Is there a song that can make you cry?
I don't think there's a song that can make me cry.
No answers to any of these.
I'm closed, as you said, about the movie or book that made me cry. Mm-hmm. But you know what? My favorite aunt in the world died right around this time last year, my Aunt Genevieve. And you don't remember.
Gee.
Yeah, maybe you do remember meeting her. But you were at her house. I know you were. I remember it. But and you know, everybody who's listened to our show for the past 9 months or since the beginning knows this song. Because right around the time when my aunt died, my Aunt Guy, Genevieve, I had the CD that was in my CD player in the car was Simon Fox. And remember the song we played, mm-hmm. The Fisherman, that really beautiful sort of melodic Celtic kind of thing. And that CD was in my CD player, and I get a little OCD, and any CD that's in my player, I'll listen to for a week every day. I just keep listening to it. And if there's a song...
Well, it's a good way to get acclimated to the music, and you hear more every time you listen.
Yeah, and I do that for a couple of reasons. If it's an artist who agreed to let us play their stuff, I listen to it because I want to find the strong songs. But Simon, this song just spoke to me, The Fisherman, and I just kept hitting repeat, you know, mm-hmm. for like a week. When right after my aunt died, I was in this weird place, and I just kept listening to this song, The Fisherman, and that song kind of just will always remind me, you know, of my aunt.
It's a smell memory thing. Every time you smell something, it brings it back.
This is the song memory. And, you know, in the beginning, of course, you know, it was an unpleasant memory, my aunt dying, but now it becomes a more pleasant one as I look back on my aunt, and, you know, she, of course, brought joy wherever she went. And that song will probably, for the rest of my life, if I ever hear it, will remind me of my Aunt Guy.
Yeah, for me, there's actually two songs. One, it's Epitaph by Crimson.
Right.
Because if you've ever heard this song, it's very, I don't want to say operatic, but it's almost like that. It's very dramatic. And I also have some personal associations with it too, brother of mine. And I'm going to go cliche on this one. Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin.
Yeah, Chapin's great.
Yeah, and being a father and now having a son, it's a story about the father and son, the father not having enough time for his son, and then the son grows up and not having enough time for his family or having enough time for the father. Pretty sad thing, pretty sad deal.
I like a lot of those folky kind of guys, you know, Chapin, mm-hmm. Gordon Lightfoot, you know. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Neil Young.
I love Neil Young. Boy, I met Neil Young.
Really?
Yeah, well, he's big into Lionel Electric trains, as is my dad, and I went to a train show
years ago.
Was he
wearing an engineer's hat?
I believe he was,
oh,
actually.
Man.
Well, I believe he's also an investor in Lionel. He owns a piece
wow.
of the company. He's hardcore into trains, and he was just walking around, big mutton chop sideburns, and I had him sign a hat. I have a Lionel or some kind of hat signed, I think, somewhere.
Ted Nugent, too. I think he fired an arrow through a train. I'm sorry.
The Nuge, I would not have spoken to.
No.
I mean, not that, you know, not that I don't have respect for the Nuge, because the guy's a main madman. He is the Motor City madman. But.
He's a psychopath. Anyways, question number seven.
Number seven.
Is there a song that can cheer you up or always cheers you up?
Well, again, I don't think there's one. And it's going to depend on my mood and where I'm at. You know what I mean?
The question is there a song that usually cheers you up? Something that will always put you in a mood?
I honestly can't think of one. I thought about that one, but
you
one
got
of my
nothing
favorite
for this, do
just
you?
Just shut up. One of my favorite artists is Steve Morse, and I think you went to see him with me
yep.
years ago at that little blues club in Syracuse.
Yep.
And he's got such a what's the word I want? Such a vast discography with
buttocks.
So many. Well, they're very nice. He's got such a vast discography of so many different kinds of things. There's always a Steve Morse tune that one of the greatest guitarists who ever lived, simply put, he can play rock, blues, jazz, classical, and he's amazing.
Metal.
Pretty much. And he...
Ska.
Ska, techno. Grindcore. I was just going to say that. And, you know, I can find something in the Steve Morris library, except his most recent CD, which I'm very critical of. I think it sucks, but love you anyway, Steve. But yeah, I can usually find something from him that'll cheer me up. But I don't think there's one. Maybe Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Not. Anyway, go ahead.
That one, ironically, makes everyone angry.
That's the Twist the Knob off the radio song.
You know, I'm going to change my answer. That's the one. For me,
you keep pointing at the screen like I can read it from here.
I'm pointing for myself because my eyes aren't so great.
Yeah, well,
you know, old guy. For me, ironically, it's two Hendrix tunes, but one is a performance not by Hendrix. First one is Crosstown Traffic. That's Hendrix's performance. And the second one is the Chili Peppers version of Fire.
And not a good song, actually, in retrospect. Which, by the way, for those of you who don't know why John's laughing, is the song they were playing when Woodstock 99 erupted in flames, which, by the way, was 8 miles from my house. Right. I could hear the music playing at night in Rome, New York.
Yeah, not far from where I work.
Yeah. Very close, very
close. But yeah,
close.
That song, I think that even though Hendrix played it with a lot of energy, the Chili Peppers put even more energy and a couple of tube socks on top of that song. It was great.
Yeah, Flea was playing naked. I somewhere around have the video.
I think
of
it's
the
required
Peppers.
For him to play naked.
Yeah,
every time I've seen them play, they're always naked.
I met the Flea actually at an
Ann
show.
Me. Yeah.
But yeah, I have that on video somewhere. The Chili Peppers performance at Woodstock '99, and Flea, there was no tube sock. It was just naked. He was the only naked one. You know, I want to say something.
There's a danger in that with electronic equipment.
Well, you know, he wasn't anywhere near any seawater, so he was fine. But, you know, there's been a couple of videos on this latest Peppers album that are really cool. And there's the one where they dress in different genre costumes, like in the Beatles suits and in the Herman and the Hermit suits. That's a great video. And have you seen the latest video? I don't even know what it's called, but they just let, like, normal people jam in this room on stage with them.
As much as I love the Chili Peppers, and they're one of my favorite bands, I just, for some reason, I can't get into their latest album.
Oh, I like it.
So I haven't watched any of their videos.
The videos are great, but anyway.
Nope, I haven't seen it.
Got any more questions?
Last question.
Last question. Thank God. Is it 48?
I think this is 8 of 90.
Okay.
Is there a single song that you can identify high school with?
I actually,
and your answer is no, there is not, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, no, but it's that whole 80s music thing, you know, the music, I love the 80s on VH1, you know. But, you know, in retrospect and looking back, and I think there is one song that reminds me of that time, not necessarily of high school, but what this song reminds me of was my friend Kevin and I at the time, we were juniors in high school, and we were putting together a lighting company to work with rock bands, and I've talked about being on the road with some local rock bands, and that's the context in which we were on the road. We had a little lighting company, and we had lights and follow spots, and we went on the road with a couple local bands. And there was this one summer when we were putting our rig together, if you will. And my friend Kevin, you know, his parents had an in-ground pool, so they had a great shop, a garage, fully equipped. So any sort of construction and or metal and or woodwork we needed to get done was done in the driveway of my friend Kevin's house, you know, because he had all kinds of great tools.
It's kind of like Monster House.
Kind of. And they had the stereo speakers out by the pool. So when we'd be working and putting our show together, we'd be cranking tunes. And not that I even love this song, but the song just brings me back. Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics.
Oh.
And I know I always make the joke, the Eurythmics, mm-hmm. when we're bloodthirsty vegetarians or the bloodthirsty vegetarians. But yeah, Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics was played incessantly in the summer of 83 or 82. I forget which one. And we were out back in the summer putting our show together, and that song was just in heavy rotation at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the other couple of songs that were in heavy rotation at the time were David Bowie's record with Stevie Ray Vaughan playing on it, China Girl. Whatever that song record was called. Was it China
remember.
Girl? Was that the name of the record?
I don't remember. But I wasn't a huge Bowie fan, so I don't really
I'm
follow.
Not a big Bowie fan either, but China Girl and one of the other ones got heavy rotation that same summer, and it just totally brings me back to being in that driveway when we were still in high school mm-hmm. and just, you know, having fun, putting our show together, kind of living our dream, being on the road with a rock band, you know, snorting a lot of coke, smoking a lot of pot. No, we didn't really do any drugs. We were the only guy.
We were with the band, man.
We were the only people who didn't do drugs, actually. The band was just nuts. But anyway, what do you got?
Oh, Dire Straits. Do you remember?
Which song?
Money for Nothing.
Nah. I actually hated that song.
Well, I got really sick of this song. And the reason why I associate high school with it kind of is because I was working summer job doing construction demolition kind of thing, and it was like the song that they always played on the classic rock station. Yeah, this is a great song. All the old guys playing this thing, and we're banging away in hammers and ripping stuff apart, and oh man, I heard that song probably 40,000-50,000 times.
You know, there's some more music that I just thought of this that kind of reminds me of high school. Oh geez, it just popped out of my brain. How lame am I?
It's on the floor. Pick it up.
Pick it up. Well, if I think of it again, I'll speak it out loud. But
yeah, and another one.
Oh, The Police.
The Police.
My friend Kevin was a hardcore Police fan, and we liked the first two Police records, Zenyatta Mandata and Outlandish D'Amour.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw them in 83 on the Ghost in the Machine tour, too, in the Carrier Dome. The Dome with Black Uhuru, a real reggae band, opening up for him. And that was a good show. I just remember this green haze floating over the floor seats, and I didn't know what it was.
Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another song that always reminds me of high school is Foreigner's Jukebox Hero.
Yeah. Yeah. That goes back. Yeah. Yeah. But any of that 80s stuff, you know, I mean, even as lame as A Flock of Seagulls, because it was part of that 80s music thing, you know, just brings me back to high school. But anyway, there you go.
Well, that's it. That's my meme. And I'm going to post this up on the site, and hopefully it'll spread like wildfire.
Well, we'll nominate people. I nominate Kirsten.
I nominate Rich to answer the questions.
Well, I'll put it up on the blog. We can each do our own posts.
Cool.
Let's go into another tune.
Before that, though, let's mention the
wine.
Yeah,
what are we drinking? It's
we're getting a little sauced on this.
It's the sauce.
It's more Screwcap Madness. And I have to say, and you probably agree, this is the best of the Screwcaps that we've had.
This is exquisite, and it's a blend, and you usually don't go for the blends.
I know. This is the lucky country. It's a Barossa Valley, Cabernet Sauvignon, Shiraz blend. It's
if you're going to drink a blend, it should be a Cab Shiraz.
It'll hit you right across the forehead.
It's like ripping a volume knob off your forehead.
Yep. Lucky Country, 2003, Barossa Valley, product of Australia.
We've been drinking a lot of the Australian wines. In fact, pretty much the past 7 weeks, that's all been Aussie wines.
Yep. Good stuff. Another tune.
What do we got?
It's Grindcore.
No. It's not Grindcore. Oh, it's Trespass, yeah, that Israeli progressive band.
It's our friend's Trespass, and we thought we'd break this one out. It's called Wind Song.
I kind of like this.
Thank you.
Sweet.
I'm flicking my lighter.
I like any of that sort of neo-baroque kind of medieval stuff, and that's really... John let me make the call on this one, and I chose this one this week.
Yeah, I like this stuff a lot. They remind me of every prog rock band that I've ever loved.
They're so cool, and nobody's writing music like that anymore. And I'm going to say it out loud. I make a call to let me produce their music because it's a little distorted, a little overcompressed. I mean, the mix is kind of but the music is so tight, you know?
Yeah, and they seem to be fairly good musicians, too.
I think they're a little better than fairly good. It's just, I don't know if they're making their own recordings or not, but, you know, let me help.
Call for help.
So I saw a cool movie at Munson, and you might be into this. It was called Who Gets to Call It Art?
Do.
I'm pretty much Art's wife gets to call him Art. I mean,
the answer is me.
And this film is about kind of the New York art scene in the 60s, through the 60s, I guess. And it's kind of about a man who would be curator at the Metropolitan Museum of Art named...
MoMA.
Yes. His name was Henry Geldzahler. And he was this sort of flamboyant person who was initially offered a job by the Met, to which he declined. And they said, why? And because he loved contemporary art. And he was like, well, you know, you're an encyclopedia of art, but you're missing a volume. And until you get that volume, I don't want to be a part of it. So they kind of brought him on board, and he started introducing more of the contemporary, what am I thinking of? De Kooning.
Oh, so this is in the 50s, 40s,
well,
50s?
No, it's not that late. He worked there in the 60s.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but he started introducing...
Pollock, de Kooning.
Yeah, and what's the style?
Well, it would be called modern art.
Right, but what
abstract
is it?
Expressionism.
Abstract expressionism.
Yeah.
And he started introducing this into the Met, and he himself, Henry Geldzahler, had a tremendous impact on legitimizing this art form in the New York art scene. And, of course, since it's the Met, it has waves throughout the entire art world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, allowed these guys to actually sell their paintings and actually achieve some kind of living, you know, by showing the contemporary art. And the film is a documentary, and there are interviews with him, Henry Geldzahler, and a variety of artists of the time from guys. Well, they didn't have any interviews with Warhol because he's not around anymore, but they had a lot of stock.
He's the late Warhol.
He is the late Andy Warhol. And not that he's an expressionist, but
no.
The pop art thing came after that, and he
precursor to the postmodern.
Yeah, yeah, and he had an instrumental hand in sort of introducing that into the Met and sort of helping legitimize that in the New York art circles as well. Mm-hmm. But people who and I don't know anything about this. You're the art history guy, but I learned this in the film. So you would like this film just
I
because
would love
there's
it.
A lot of art history going on in here and a mm-hmm. lot of stock archival footage and a lot of scenes from those Warhol films where you just put a camera on somebody for 2 hours. You know,
Warhol's Frankenstein, the 9-hour epic.
Right. I do know. Speaking of Blue Velvet, Dennis Hopper was a very good friend of Warhol at the factory.
Yeah.
And they made a, you know, 2-hour Dennis Hopper film as well, you know.
It's Dennis Hopper's nostril, I'm sure.
I think it was just him not moving, him trying to show no expression for 2 hours, you know. And that has validity, too. I mean, as an art form, you know, attempting to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, and again, getting into the modern, postmodern pop type stuff, it starts to get into the conceptual. Which was the big movement.
Right. And artists who were interviewed either in stock footage or who are alive today and were interviewed include, let's see, Warhol, Jasper Johns, Frank Stella, Ellsworth Kelly, Francesco Clemente, James Rosenquist, David Hockney.
Hockney.
Yeah. And they interviewed an art film guru, Jonas Mekas, and...
Close?
Glenn Close?
No. The other Close.
I don't know. But anyway, those people and
Chuck
more.
Close.
Chuck Norris.
I'm surprised they didn't get Chuck Close in there. Sorry.
I think Norris is in there, though. But a very interesting look at sort of the New York art scene throughout the 60s and a really interesting look at these artists and kind of their thought processes. And I would really recommend it. It's a really cool film. I'm not a hardcore art guy, you know. I mean, sometimes I don't get it. You kind of studied the curriculum. And
because you're not smart enough.
Well, clearly. And definitely check it out, though. I mean, if you're into art at all or you're into that period or you're into sort of documentaries and, mm-hmm. you know, seeing this really interesting footage of Warhol and all of these guys, some of whom aren't with us anymore, it's definitely worth a look. At the very least, it's interesting.
Well, to be honest, I've never heard of the film. I'm shocked. I'm stunned.
Shocked and stunned.
So I'm going to put that on my list and I'm going to bump it up to the top because I want to see that.
And it's a, let me just, for our memory impaired person, Ken, this is a 2006 film by Peter Rosen, and it's called Who Gets to Call It Art? 78 minutes. So hit the klaxons. Thank God. This show's like an hour.
That's the shoe.
This will officially be our longest show ever.
Well, you can always cut out your part. Because you didn't really have any answers to the meme anyway.
I could cut out your part, too.
That's true.
I could just not post a show. I could post a file of 0 bytes.
That would be fun.
Our shortest show ever.
Very conceptual.
Anyway, this is Rich Wilgus.
And I'm John.
And you've been listening to The Eurythmics.
Go to our site, www.bloodyveg.com.
Send us feedback, all kinds of goodies, fruitcake and all that kind of stuff.
No, we've got a fruitcake here.
Answer feedback at bloodyveg.com. Check out the forum.
Forum, I forgot, it's my part. We switched here. Forum, bloodyveg.com/forum.
That's right, check that out. And our picture gallery, bloodyveg.com/gallery. And remember, you're listening to VIB.